Perfect guarantee. So it's done right or it's printed again free. Staples, your local print and marketing expert. N61, visit staples.com/print for details.
Thunder Country Weather. This is your overnight weather update brought to you by Albia Ford. Right on Highway 5 and right on the money. Your low for the overnight is 57, with breezy winds gusting as high as 28 miles per hour, with showers and thunderstorms in the midnight hours. To bring it to your Tuesday, with cloudy skies gradually clearing with a high of 74, with on and off showers, and winds gusting as high as 26 miles per hour.
Now it's time for Just Start Talking on Thunder Country, brought to you by People's State Bank in Albia. Just Start Talking is a community service program from KIIC. And now, live from high atop the square in downtown Albia, Just Start Talking.
With me now for my installment of Just Start Talking, I have Lindsay Phillips with me. Don't forget, the month of May is Foster Care Awareness Month. Lindsay, thanks for being with me here on KIIC.
Thank you for having me.
So May is a month of foster care awareness, and some people don't think about that very much. But before we get to that, give us a little bit of background here about yourself and where you grew up and how you got involved with Four Oaks Family Connections.
Yeah, I was born and raised in the Knoxville area, and just, you know, growing up, always had a desire to want to make a difference and make the world a little bit of a better place, you know. And as I grew up and became an adult, one of the things we just felt led to do was become foster parents ourselves. And so we did. We became licensed a few years ago. We have done all the things. We've fostered, we've adopted, and we've also done kinship through the Four Oaks. And then in addition, about a year ago, I was reached out to ask if I'd be interested in this position that I'm doing right now, which is the recruitment and retention coordinator for this service area. So I just get the opportunity to, you know, connect with the community and just share the need for foster parents and what that need looks like and just what fostering looks like at a closer glance for people to learn and understand.
I'm not saying that this affects me, but back in the day when I was growing up, there was a foster home there in my hometown, and it was just amazing to see the people that came through and the backgrounds that they had. And of course, the parents were so loving and caring and took them in as their own. It's got to be a special set of people that takes that step, you know, to bring somebody new into their homes. And I wouldn't say upset the balance, but definitely is a management situation that has to go through. Talk about that procedure.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree with you. I think that it does take something that's laying on your heart, but also it takes someone with the ability to say yes, right? It is going to change your life. It is going to change the way that you maybe are doing your schedule, just like when you have a child yourself and you birth a child, it changes. So there's a different piece. Obviously, there's different flexibility that's going to go into doing this journey, but I would tell you, and my kids would tell you, the sacrifice is worth every bit of it to be a part of helping a child have, you know, have a better story or rewrite the story of just having someone that loves and cares for them and is able to provide stability, which is just so important when you're fostering a child.
Well, think about it. This individual has been displaced from their home for whatever reason. We don't need to get into those reasons, but They're going through a traumatic time in their lives as well. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, you think about, you know, oftentimes we try so often, it is our hope, which is why we need more foster homes, and I can't stress that enough, is we want to keep children in the communities that they're being removed from. Because, I mean, I think we could all imagine what it would be like to have someone come to your door and say, okay, you need to pack up your belongings, you're going to be moving to another community, and you're going to be moving into a home with people you don't know. And that's very traumatic, and that's very hard. So when we can find and have foster homes in the communities, that's one thing we're able to keep, the familiarity of knowing their community, but then also just having people that welcome them for who they are and aren't trying to change them, aren't trying to, you know, they're just loving them for who they are and what they've gone through, and just allowing them to just be is so important in this journey.
I'm talking with Lindsay Phillips from Four Oaks Family Connections, and for our installment of Just Start Talking today. And Lindsay, as you go through this process, if you're interested in being a particular foster family, talk about the first steps that those people have to do to get into position to take someone else into their home.
Yeah, so the first step, I mean, is definitely going to our website, iowafosterandadoption.org. You could search Four Oaks Family Connections on Google. It's going to pull it up. And when you get on our website, there's an orientation that's offered on Wednesday evenings and Sunday evenings. I highly encourage you to go, and it's a virtual thing. You can just sign up. It's at 8 p.m. It's 1 hour. And it's all about just the ins and outs of fostering to better understand it. You know, we get a lot of questions about the adoption side of things. And so going on that orientation just allows you to know more. If you're interested in taking that next step, we know so often people think about this. I mean, myself, you know, we waited about a year and a half just considering what was the best step and when was the best time. We know there's a process of consideration. So there's no, once you do that orientation, you're signed in and you're locked in. You can certainly still think about that. And once you do the orientation, if you decide to move forward, there's an application process, which after you've completed the application, the background check, there's a 33-hour pre-service training course that is required by HHS. To go through that training, I can't say enough about how that training truly equips you in this journey, not only for your fostering and adoption journey, but also just as a parent. We go through a lot of different characteristics that really help set you up for success. And so those are just, that's what you get to do. But you also get to build a community with other foster parents, which is so great to have, because oftentimes when you're fostering, it may feel like you're alone in whatever behavior you're dealing with. And to have other foster parents who truly know and get it and are alongside with you is just a beautiful thing. So that's kind of how the process goes. There's a home study. In all, we like to say it can take about 6 to 9 months to become licensed.
You indicated the HHS, of course, that's Health and Human Services, formerly known as the Department of
Human Services. Yeah. Yeah. So recently, about a year ago, you know, there was a transition where they combined it, Health and Human Services. It used to be separate entities, and now they operate as a one entity.
Let's be clear. Not only couples are welcome, but I'm assuming singles are welcome as well. Talk about that.
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked that question, because we get that all the time. You know, oh, I'm not married, or oh, I live in an apartment or a townhouse. I can't be a foster parent. Absolutely not. That is a myth. You can be single. You can be cohabiting. You can be all of the things. Married. It doesn't matter. You know, we need all of those things. We just need people that are reflective of, you know, that can love children well and that have a space for a child. Now, certainly we need to make sure we have bedroom spaces, and there's different home requirements that are, you know, asked of you as a foster parent. But you can be all of the things to be a foster parent.
The thing about this adoption, as it's transformed over the years, it used to be that they would split up the kids, and that would cause a lot of heartache and heartbreak. How much do they work on keeping the kids together now if they're siblings?
That is a wonderful question. So I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to dispel the myth that, you know, Iowa is truly a state that is fostering to reunify. We want those children back home with a family member, if at all possible. Like, that is our hope, that when a child comes into care, we're going to get them back home. And we're going to do everything in our power. HHS is going to do everything in their power to work towards those reunification efforts. With a sibling set, sometimes we have sibling sets that are very large, which is, again, why we need foster homes that have space for, you know, three children, so we can keep them in the same home. When we cannot do it, we really try to keep them in the same community so that they're able to connect with maybe the other foster parent and still have interactions and still be able to get together on a regular basis. Those are our hopes. When it comes to adoption, unfortunately, you know, sometimes children are unable to reunify with their family. and then it does go to adoption, I'll tell you that our success rate is, you know, we're at 70% of children are going back home. So it's not a, you know, a low rate. I think we can obviously always work better, but that comes from foster parents really engaging and working with the biological parents to help them gain that stability and just know that there's people rooting for them to get those children back home and in their support system.
I'm talking with Lindsay Phillips for my installment of Just Start Talking this week. Lindsay's involved with Four Oaks Family Connections, and she's the coordinator for this area. And it's really interesting that you have gone through the process of adoption, you've gone through fostering, and now you're spreading the word of this by being involved with this company, Four Oaks Family Connections. You have seen the gamut in terms of great stories and stories of heartbreak. Talk about those heartstrings that you've had tugged at you both ways, good and bad.
So the one story that just lifts for me that I get, again, I get the opportunity to share is just being a part of reunification, right? And so I had, so often, I guess I should rewind, so often I get the question of, I could never be a foster parent because I could never love them and then have to send them home, right? I get that question. I love getting asked that question because I get the opportunity to share the, but why, or let's talk more about this. So I had fostered for a period of time, a long period of time. I had two children in my home that I loved dearly. They were amazing. And the part of it was I got to be a part of their lives with their family. I got to work towards those reunification efforts. I was cheering the parents on. I'm like, you guys can do this. And so fast forward, the children were able to reunify and go back home. And as much as I would say that I say it's the most interesting feeling to ever experience because you're so, so happy because you're like, that's where they want to be. At the end of the day, everybody wants to be back home with their family. You would want to be back home with your family. And so you can support that and you can cheer for that, but you're also sad, right? A piece of your heart goes back home, you know, and you know, it's been a beautiful thing. Years later, we're still connected. I'm still, you know, quote unquote, a part of their family. And that's something that I would never have had without saying yes to this experience. And it's forever changed me in such a positive way.
Let's talk about numbers here. How many kids are in need in the entire state of Iowa? I'm sure people will find it staggering, but yet again, they need to know.
Yeah. So last year in the state of Iowa, we had around 4,000 children who were in need of a temporary home.
And that seems like a large number. And the crazy thing about that, it kind of depends on the population metro where they're located at. Probably a higher need in metros such as Des Moines and Cedar Rapids. Talk about that.
Yeah, so I mean, your bigger cities obviously have more of a higher removal rate, higher crime rates, all of those things. I won't get into the logistics of that. Yeah, so we see bigger things. But then I would also just say that we need in the rural areas too, because I would love to say that we don't need foster homes in certain smaller communities. That's not true. There's a need. We never know where the need's going to arise. And so having homes available, like I mentioned earlier, is allowing us to be able to keep that child in the community that they belong in, that they're from, and that they're familiar with. So it's so important. Statewide, all 99 counties have foster parents and have multiple foster parents, because one of the great things about fostering, and again, people, it's a myth, is that, well, if I get the phone call, I have to say yes. No, you're going to say yes to the different gifts and the different, you know, ages and behaviors that work well for your family that you feel equipped to parent. And so, you know, we could say we have five foster families in this community, but if all five foster families are only parenting 0 to 2-year-olds, then we don't have any foster families available for a teenager that might need a home right now.
I'm talking with Lindsay Phillips. She's with Four Oaks Family Connections, as the month of May is Foster Care Awareness Month. And so you've opened the door on the work of ages, kids as ages. Talk about the rate of success. I'm assuming that younger kids have a higher success in terms of finding a foster home than older kids, but nevertheless, we need to know about that.
you know, I used to could get in to come to something like this and say, okay, yep, absolutely. We, you know, teenagers is a huge need. It continues to be a need. We do need homes for teenagers. But I would now say we need homes for all ages, because what we see, again, like I mentioned, the siblings, we need homes that can take two or three kids who maybe are 0, 2, and 3, and a family just doesn't have the space. You know, your home size is just not available for that, you know, size of a sibling set. We also have run into daycare being an issue. So often, you know, individuals want to maybe foster a younger child, but they work a full-time job and there's no daycare available in their community to be able to have that child go to. So they're unable to say yes to that placement. So again, it takes all kinds of kinds, right? So we need all of those things, just because of the need of so many different things.
The great thing about Four Oaks Family Connections, it is a 501(c) entity. Mm-hmm. You can help out other ways than becoming a foster parent. Talk about that.
Yeah. So I say so often, we can all do something, right? I know that not everybody is called to fostering, but I think you probably know someone in your community that fosters, or maybe you work at a business, or you work at a, you belong to a faith organization or any sort of organizations. Call me. Invite me to come speak to your group, because it might not be for you, but I also think there's just this sense of awareness that we can continue to spread across the state of Iowa, that we do need foster homes. And I have this dream, or I have this thought, and I know it's within Four Oaks wide, is that we can be bigger. We can be nationwide to say, look, we've addressed this issue, and there's so many families that have stepped up to say yes to being able to foster your children when they come into care, and we're not struggling to find homes for children. And so I think we can do that. So I think being able to have conversations is a huge piece. So it might not be that you're becoming a foster parent. It might be that you're just inviting us in to have conversations. And then, of course, like you said, maybe it's you want to support Four Oaks. You want to say, hey, I want to make a donation because I want to support the children that are involved in this part of the system. You know, we have this nonprofit organization that just collaborated with us, and their dream was they wanted children in foster care to have a brand new bike. They didn't want it to be a used bike. They wanted it to be a brand new bike. So we get a phone call and they say, hey, we want to collaborate with you and we're going to make this happen. And we have 100 new bikes coming to this service area. So children are going to be riding around this summer on a brand new bicycle. It's things like that. It takes one idea that one person has that says, hey, I believe in this and I think we can make this happen. And that's all it does, is one person does say, this is what I want to do.
They did make a difference. That's cool. You mentioned the word service area just now. How many service areas are there in Iowa then?
Yeah, so there's 5 service areas. I know if you go to our website, it looks kind of wonky, like, well, why is it broken down where you see such small areas and such big areas? That is based on removals. So kind of the bigger service area, we try to make it so they're all equal to the amount of removals. So again, with the question you asked earlier, Metro seems very small, but that is because they have such a substantial amount of removals amongst those few counties.
Sometimes kids go through life, a difficult life as they transform. LGBTQ plus kids sometimes are shown the door because of the beliefs in which their parents grown up with, and they feel that their child should be in that boat as well. But talk about the kids that are in that position. That's got to be a rough go as well.
Yeah, I mean, when I say earlier that we need homes that are going to welcome children for, you know, in all walks of life, right? We need all the things. We need a diverse set of foster families. We truly do need a diverse set of foster families, because so often we have children, like you said, you mentioned the LGBTQ community. We need children who are going to love and affirm them for who they are and not try to make them something they are not. And that is with all children, but especially with the LGBTQ community, that we need to walk with them and love them and meet them in their needs and not try to change them. And so there's certainly a huge need in that, because it's a very hard thing to be able to share that, you know, to be vulnerable and share things like that. And we need people to accept them for who they are and walk with them in that, and not make them feel guilty for what they just shared with you.
I'm chatting with Lindsay Phillips for my installment of Just Start Talking this week. May is Foster Care Awareness Month, and she is the coordinator for our area. Sometimes people worry about financing as well. I indicated on the news last week that over $11,000 it takes per year for a kid to survive, to be raised. Talk about that financial responsibility from the foster care parent, or if it's a single person, and how does that affect their taxes?
Yeah, so great question, because I know so often we hear individuals say maybe, oh, foster parents are doing this to make money. That is certainly not the case. You are not going to get rich from fostering. It does cover about 65% of that child's cost, we always say, to be in your home. You get a monthly stipend, and that it's a daily rate that you're reimbursed based on age, behaviors, and a variety of other things. So you get that monthly stipend. In addition, children that come into care all receive Medicaid insurance, so that no medical bills are responsible for you. If that child is in daycare, they can go to a daycare that accepts the HHS reimbursement rate, which allows, you know, the HHS to reimburse that daycare directly. So there's lots of different, there is those sides of things that support you. I would also say there's a lot of nonprofits that have really came into an existence because they saw a lack of, you know, need that there was in missing things, whether it was clothing closets, whether it was bedding, bikes, all the things. And so we really do count on those nonprofits to come alongside foster parents and say, hey, we want to support you. We want to, you know, give you diapers, or we want to do XYZ, because that really helps in this journey, because there isn't a huge funding source. We did receive recently, there is going to be a small increase. Legislation just passed, so we are very thankful for that. So there's going to be a small increase for foster parents, definitely working towards those inflation rates and how high things are to raise a children nowadays.
That it is, for sure. Looking at the website, there's an activity coming up called Generation Prescription. Talk about that as it goes through. It talks about prescription medications. And is that anything that we need to be thinking about?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that we can see and we continue to do at Four Oaks is once you are a licensed foster parent, we offer trainings ongoing for foster parents to continue to expand their knowledge base. You know, prescription medication is a huge thing. Mental health is such a big topic right now. And obviously children coming into care, mental health is going to be an aspect of that. So being able to walk with foster parents in the different challenges that they are dealing with or they are working to better understand is so important. And that's why we do offer trainings like what you just mentioned as a way for foster parents to equip themselves to learn more. There is a yearly 6 hours of training that is required for all foster parents. Again, that's why, you know, I was taking that initiative to make sure that foster parents are prepared and they do understand, you know, what they're doing as a foster parent. It's not just a one and done situation. There's going to be continuing education that is required, but it's so good to help you gain in how to better care for a child.
There's another cool thing that's coming up, and it will be happening as we speak. It's Oskaloosa Training and Support Group, not online. It takes place at the Bridge Church building, which is the old Slumberland building over there on the eastern part of the town of Oskaloosa. But how cool is that to have something to get people interested in and provide some information about what's going to happen while they're involved with this adoption?
Yeah, I mean, we've started these recently, like you said, in the Oskaloosa area and different areas, just as a way for foster parents to get together and have community and conversation about what they're maybe having happen in their home or different strategies that would help benefit them. And I would just add, you know, we're getting ready for May. Like we said, we're having appreciation events throughout the service area. There's going to be 4 appreciation events targeting, you know, different areas so that we're able to get foster parents within close proximity of an event. And we need businesses, different organizations that want to team up and say, hey, like, we want to support. We've had some great support from local churches and different businesses that are saying, hey, I'm going to donate some food, or I want to donate some beach balls or whatever it might be, just so the children have the best day ever. But also the foster parents come to that event and just feel feel loved that day. That's my hope for that event, is that they know that the journey they're on, they're not doing it alone, because there's so many people that surround them and say, hey, we want to, you know, we want to do this as just a token of thanks for all that you do for our families.
Nobody wants to go through life being the Lone Ranger, that's for sure. So this is an excellent opportunity for people to reach out and get involved with this activity. 4,000 kids in the state of Iowa is in need of foster care. And to me, that's 4,000 too many. But that's the way things go, and it's happened for quite some time. I'm chatting with Lindsay Phillips for my installment of Just Start Talking, as she's involved with Four Oaks Family Connections, and May is Foster Care Awareness Month. All right, Lindsay, before we wrap this up, let's go ahead and tell folks one more time how to go on the website to get this information about adoption and fostering.
Yeah, so first thing you want to do is definitely just go to iowafosteranadoption.org. From there, you're going to, there's lots of great information. There's a Cedar Rapids service area, so that's where our listeners would be coming from. You would want to click on that, and you can gain definitely more information. You can also reach out to me directly. My email is lphillips@fouroaks.org. Email me, you know, let's connect. I'm always there to answer questions, whether they're personally related questions or business related questions. Would love to connect with whoever wants to talk.
As always, listeners, if you want to listen back to this podcast one more time, you can go to www.kiicradio.com, select the audio vault, and on the right side, you'll be able to see this podcast and listen to its entirety once again. Lindsay, thank you so much for being with me here on KIIC.
I'm being in trouble. People want their food. It's not, officers don't have time to deliver food. It is fun, though, isn't it? Getting ready for the 2024 NFL season with NFL schedule release presented by Verizon. Every game revealed coming in May. Watch on NFL Network and streaming on NFL Plus. Additional coverage on ESPN2. Subscription required for NFL Plus. Learn more at NFL.com.
He left me crying late one Sunday night outside of Boulder. He said he had to find himself out on the road. I guess when love goes wrong, you gotta learn to be strong. So I worked two jobs, three times. I ended up south of Memphis, working down in Riverside. I may not be so lucky in love, but the one thing I'm sure, hot July morning. His hair was longer, but his eyes were the same old blue.